listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
The Star Wars Sessions podcast.
Palpatine loves a good Star Wars session.
Absolute legends of Star Wars Sessions.
This is the way. This is the way.
Please welcome your hosts, Matt Hudson and Luke Bly.
This is where the fun begins.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are in the galaxy, and welcome to Star Wars Sessions. Come for the Star Wars, stay for the sessions. My name is Matt Hudson, aka Jabba the Hutt, and joining me as ever, he's the greatest Star Wars man, fan, and buddy out there. I'm recording in a jumper and jeans. He's in a t-shirt and shorts. It's Luke Bly, Master Blywalker. How you doing, mate?
Oi, oi, Sabaloi! Here from a sunny Miami, Florida, mate.
Lucky you.
Yeah. Although it's a bit windy. A little bit windy. The missus and I are here for a cheeky little work trip. And we thought, oh, you know what? Before the old boring work stuff, let's go to Disney World the week before. So that's what I've been doing.
Yes.
That's what I've been done. Oh, mate.
Tell us. Like, you've been to Disney. We love Mickey. We love Goofy and all those ducks. Galaxy's Edge. I know you've been before. Give it to me. How was it? Was it any busier? Was it any better now that you've been there before and know to expect? Give me the juice.
It was just as busy. It was still just as wonderful. Honestly, it is just amazing. It really resonates with me. I know it's not going to resonate with all the fans. The ride, Rise of the Resistance, mate, it's my favorite ride of all time. And they got some new, like, really good rides in Disney World. Like, they got the new Guardians of the Galaxy ride in Epcot, sublime. They got the new Tron ride in the Magic Kingdom, sublime. Nice. Rise of the Resistance, though, mate, it's just everything and more. It is. I don't know.
I saw your pictures in front of it, and it's one of those rides or experiences that I'm still very wary of seeing anything about it. I've never watched a YouTube video on it. I've never dove into it because I do intend to go there one day. But just to see your delight standing there in the hangar, I was like, yeah, there's my man there representing sessions all across the world. There you were in front of the Falcon as well. I was like, there he is. He's looking great. What did you do whilst you were there? Did I know you went to Ogre's. Did you do anything else?
We did Ogre's again, which is a great, great laugh. For the first time, because in my initial visit in 2022, it was a really like last minute booking.
I remember. Yeah,
I built a lightsaber at Savvy's this time because I couldn't get a booking for it last time. I built the lightsaber. The experience of building the lightsaber is superb. Absolutely superb. Can't criticize it. It's great. And without spoilers, it's great fun. The design, my design, I'm pretty proud of. But I think I'm gonna show that on socials at some point soon. It's good fun, mate. And the designs, by the way, the options for the designs have been updated since 2022. I think that was updated last year or something.
Nice. Well, I was gonna say, mate, you've built a saber. You've done the whole Savvy's experience. I ain't even seen it yet. So, guys, keep your eyes out on the socials there for the Luke Bly custom saber, mate. I've heard so many people say the experience is worth it. So I'm really pleased that you're able to do it. And it was as cool as you'd hoped. I know you weren't a fan of the green milk as well. This is just me chucking questions at Lukey Boy. I've spoken to him here and there in the last week or so, but this is the first time I've actually been able to speak to him. So I remember you didn't like the green milk last time. I'm guessing I'm bothered of it this time.
No, I didn't, mate. I didn't. Do you know what? Funnily enough, I didn't get either milk. I prefer the blue milk to the green milk, but I didn't get either. I went for, what is it called? The calf? The Black Spire post calf or something like that? Do you know what it is, mate? It's
Americano?
A coffee. It's black coffee topped with like an American cream, right? So like full fat milk. And then they've sprinkled cereal on top, like, you know, like chocolate boulders on top. I would not recommend it.
I, I saw that, yes. I saw your review of it. Because it sounds nice, you know. I mean, of course it does, but...
It's all right.
I want to see. How much did you pay for that?
It's like $8 or something, probably more.
That's it, mate.
I don't want to look. I don't want to look because I'm going to get PTSD from looking at the receipts and looking at my bank statement
of yours. It's just going to laugh at you.
Was that worth it? Probably not. There are a few snacks that are a little bit suspect, but yeah.
It's the price, mate. I haven't been yet, so I would absolutely pay $8 for that as well because I'm there, but.
Yeah,
I guess for $8, you might expect a wee bit more. But, mate, I'm so pleased to hear that you've been having a good time over there. And Galaxy's Edge and Disney was everything you wanted it to be. Shame about the whole work thing, but you got to pay that statement somehow. So make sure you listen in your meeting.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to be doing a Disney trip-centered sort of focused episode on the Patreon. Real soon.
Nice.
So patrons, keep an eye out or ear out for that, mate. By the way, just as a heads up, I'm recording from, you know, the hotel. I've got some cushions around me. I know it's crazy echoey and it's going to wind me up. I know listening back to this, it will drive me up the wall, but there's nothing I can do. This is the best we've got. I'm on very suspect internet as it is, right? So we're not even sure if this is going to work, this recording, right? Like,
is the equivalent of DJ's accent in The Last Jedi. It's all over the plate. It's questionable. But and also, we did mention this a couple of weeks ago, but for the benefit of those with, like me, of short memories, or if you're new to the show, welcome. This is our main episode. However, it's going to be structured... as it's more like a discussion, it's like a pubcast for our patrons. We're going to cover the glut of news and information that Star Wars have for some reason dropped in the last week or 10 days. So we're going to be covering that. So we're not going to be going through our news round. We'll probably refer to some comments here and there, but we're not going to be ending with the game or the usual structure. So if you're new, this is very much just an hour or so of us just chatting. And then I'd imagine next week we'll be back to normal service. We just wanted to shout that out. Last week we put out a fantastic Collector's Guild. We put out a really great interview with John Jackson Miller as well of The Living Force. So we hope you enjoyed the double shift we all pulled last week. Because, listen, I enjoyed the interview with John. I think he's a Don. I listened throughout that whole Collector's Guild as well. Even though, well, I wasn't on the Collector's Guild. That's Lukey Boy's baby. I still listen because what I did, honestly, mate, I went on to our podcast host provider to upload the interview with John. And whilst I was there, I just clicked on the Collector's Guild because there was one grammatical error that I had to change in the description. But whilst I was there, I was like, I always just press play, have a little listen. And without realising that, I just had it on in the background. And I listened to the whole thing. It was just on. I was just getting well into it, like doing my housework, listening to the guild. So, yeah, good job.
No, I appreciate that, mate. I think I was in my hotel room at Heathrow Airport, like uploading the Collector's Guild. Listen, we had a mad week. Mrs. and I had a mad week leading up to our trip, mate. So, no, I really appreciate that. Before we move on, I know you said glut, and it absolutely is a glut, and I've got opinions. I have opinions on the glut itself, let alone like the specifics of the news. I have opinions. Right. I just want to say, yeah, ready? Happy anniversary, mate. Happy anniversary. 6 years of Star Wars Sessions on the 11th of April last week. Yeah.
To the sessions. Raise my glass. I have tea. And do you know what makes that special? Not only is it is a genuinely a insane milestone. And we don't often sort of give ourselves pats on the back here because we're British. But first, that's an insane milestone. But also, we always forget about it, which is something I've noticed. Like last year, we were like, our fifth anniversary was like a month ago. We forgot about it. So that's really amazing that you remembered. Yeah. 6 years, mate. And, you know, it grew from our organic roots. And here we are now. You're on the other side of the world, halfway around the world, sorry, recording. 6 years. 6 years, and we haven't just as much fun, if not a lot more, than we had to start with.
Totally agree, mate. Totally agree. Oh, Luke, what's your work day looking like? Oh, I've got a schedule in some sessions recording to talk about Tales of the Empire.
Years, mate. Congratulations on that. Mate. Week in, week out as well. You know, we do it because you guys out there really do push us to do it. You know, your love and support. I say each week, but now with the Discord, with the Patreon and the socials, daily, genuinely makes what is already a really fun ride even more exciting. So thank you so much, everyone, for letting us do this. And, you know, all the perks of speaking to you lot and Lukey Boy every week, that comes with it. We wouldn't be a collector's guild where we talk about all the Hasbro stuff. There wouldn't be book clubs where we talk to authors and that without all of you guys. So 6 years. Well done.
I know, longer than some marriages, mate. You know?
No, yeah.
It's true.
Oi, oi, Savory, oi. This is a message for Star Wars Sessions podcast from the Wolfstone Raider. You think you're probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast, but you're not. You've got no fans and you've got no drones. And if you want some, I will give it you.
Listen,
let's do it.
You know what? I just hinted at it, mate. This Star Wars news, I tweeted and put on Threads, what was it, like 12 days ago?
Must have been,
Star Wars, how much news do you want? You know, or how much Star Wars news do you want? Yes. Yeah. It feels like that. It feels like in the space of about, I don't know, I want to say like 14 days.
Let's say 2 weeks at least.
Okay, let's say 2 weeks. We got two trailers. We got news articles. We have so much just being thrown at us.
Big stuff too.
Quite frankly, mate, quite frankly, I really think it should have been spaced out a bit more. You know, as someone who has just been away for, let's be honest, not that long, right? I've been away for, as of recording, just over a week. I feel overwhelmed and I feel like, oh, hang on, what have I missed here? You sent me an article about something that we're going to save for the podcast. I was like, dude, I've not even seen that.
I know. Well, and what we're talking about today isn't even the whole pie. You know, we're taking a big chunk of the pie, but there is just so much. And some of it is, you know, some of it is just, oh, we had more Bad Batch. But there's a Clone Wars reference book coming out, or a History of the Galaxy. You know, I'm into that. But, you know, Star Wars still dropped it, or the authors are still dropping it, alongside these trailers, these news of films, the news of the series, the fallout from that, the interviews that come from those as well. You know, some of the stuff we're going to talk about has had offshoot interviews, offshoot articles, official ones as well, which is great, but is it too much? And I'm glad it isn't just me, and I know it's not just us either. We know a few people who listen have said similar things, that, you know, there's just too much coming out at once. And I can't remember which one it was now, but it was, I don't know if it was the trailers, but they came out so, or it might have been the Empire Acolyte article that came out on the same day, I think it was, as one of the trailers we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
And got equal Tells coverage, which is great, of course, because we're like, oh, yeah. But then when you get everything else after that, it does beg the question of, if you're going to put out, let's say, an article on Monday, why not save the trailer for a Thursday? And I'm sure there are metrics and algorithms telling me that it had to be done on this day for catchment and engagement. I don't know. But from a layman, which I am, don't put two things of such high significance out on the same day, especially two things that need pushing, the Acolyte and Tales.
I couldn't agree more. I think it's short-sighted. It feels like a mistake, quite frankly. It feels like it was just an oversight. And there wasn't communication. If it was planned, mate, I think it's a bit daft. A bit daft. Space it out. You know, like weeks ago, or maybe now, it might be a month or two ago, Empire magazine were teasing, you know, a Star Wars release, and it turned out to be, you know, Phantom Menace 25, which is great news and, you know, deserves coverage. But I really think that should have been Acolyte. Why not? And same with Super Bowl. I still stand by that. You don't even have to pay for the Super Bowl ad. Like, just drop it at the same time or that week. Drop it the Friday of that week. I don't know. And like you said, I don't know all the metrics. I don't work in the marketing or research department over at Disney Lucasfilm, but I think this has been a bit foolish, mate. The amount of information we've had in 11 days, 2 weeks, is insane. It's too much, mate. It's too much.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned the Phantom Menace as well. We've got our little list of stuff. I mean, that's not really on there, the Phantom Menace, but we've been getting new merchandise drops. We've been getting more information on the cinematic re-release, the theatrical release of The Phantom Menace for 25th anniversary. There's all of that, all the new Funko Pops, including a Watto one. There's so much, and that's the problem, is I want to wallow in all of the filth, but I feel like I'm almost having to like pick and choose what filth I wallow in at the minute, whereas had they spaced these, because there's no reason, there, you know, the stuff, some of the things we're going to get into, there's no reason for them to have dropped it now. Certain like movie announcements, save that for another few months. Some of the things I will say on Lucasfilm's issue, for example, the English Rose, Daisy Ridley coming out and saying, I'm going to read a script for the new Jedi Order film. That's caused a lot of stir. That's just something that came out in press for her new films. But it does feel like it's kind of added to the weight that Lucasfilm are leaning on at the minute. But in terms of like official stuff, there's been so much. But we're talking, should we start with the trailers then, mate? Because I think they're the things that got most people excited, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so, mate. We are very much just doing this on the fly, by the way, right? So I've got the Tales of the Jedi trailer up on my
phone.
Same
here.
Yeah, Matt. And I think we might do some posts like magic, sprinkle some pixie dust on there, keeping the Disney theme going, you know, mate. It's 2 minutes and 9 seconds. Wait, we're doing Tales of the Empire, right?
That's what Tales of the about. Long Live the Empire. Okay. That's it, yeah. Tales of the Empire. So this dropped on the 5th of April by looking at the date, 11 days ago from today's recording. So this has been out for about 11 days, 3.3 million views.
That's a lot.
I've only seen it once. I've only seen the trailer once.
Same. Now, it's interesting that a certain podcast a few weeks ago, months ago, at the beginning of the year, was like, oh, there's going to be more Tales of Stories, whether that's Bounty Hunters or Sith, but there'll be more Tales of Stories. Fast forward a few months later.
Here we go. And we ain't done yet either, guys.
And we didn't even push that as a scoop. We didn't even promote that. We weren't like, no. And someone listened to our show, posted it on Reddit. It was on the Christian Harloff show. Star Wars Meg was covering it. It was
everywhere.
That was wild.
A bit of firefighting going on. Yeah, I do. A little bit of spooky bum time. But I remember I was saying, I didn't, because it was quoting it, like Matt said, it's like, no, I didn't. That was taken out of context. Like, I wasn't dropping a scoop, I promise. But, you know, there's going to be more Tales off to come. Keep your eyes peeled, guys, and all that. But Tales of the Empire. This dropped, well, let's call it what it is. It's dropped out of nowhere. This was out of nowhere. I was working or something, and I think it's on our Discord. Somebody just posted, like, in big capitals, Tales of the Empire trailer. Like, what the hell is this? This sounds like an interesting like book or comic miniseries. Turns out it was an animated season of or vignette of shorts, and that's came out of nowhere. But I mean, I've got the trailer lined up at 0 seconds. I know you have as well, and I guess we're just gonna watch it together and make noises and give our thoughts at the end of it. So, do you want to give the 1, 2, 3, and we press play on go?
Press play on go. Okay. Press play and go. Okay, all right. So 3, 2, 1, go.
Why do you seek imperial favor?
Right, Thrawn, sick. I'm in.
Young Thrawn as well.
Years ago, my people were all but destroyed.
Mate.
So there's Morgan on Dathomir.
Is that definitely Dathomir?
That is when she's on her knees. She looks like Merrin from Fallen Order in that get-up.
Offer accepted. Interesting.
Made a fourth.
So it's on a Saturday, isn't it? This drops.
Yes. Guess what? The animation looks great.
Animation looks amazing.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So you got Bax's back. Now that's big, big news.
So these are shorts, aren't they? Old Grand Inquisitor. Yes. He's back. Hello.
Goodbye. Look at the size of his loaf. It's not the same.
Oh.
It's Jason Isaacs as well, the original voice.
Ah, right.
A little bit of blood.
I love that. Same planet from Mando. What's it called?
Is it Corvus, is it?
Yeah, that's it. Corvus. The Ahsoka episode, Mandalorian Season 2. Grievous!
He looks so good.
Oh, so... Hang on, we'll have to bank that. Say that in a second again. Ooh. Inquisitor. Who's that?
Is that Inquisitor from Kenobi? They didn't do anything. You must face one
final test. Hello.
Goodbye. Ooh,
wait,
ooh.
What other Inquisitor was that?
It's the one from Kenobi. She didn't do anything.
Ah, right. You said, yeah. Ah, look.
So
we got our boy.
Here he comes.
Papa.
It's Merrick. Oh, there's Daddy. He doesn't like Barriss, does he? Old Anakin.
Oh, mate.
Oh. I like that. A lot of people have got issue with the font, but I like the way it burns out to say Empire.
I think it's the layout. Yes. It breaks a couple graphic design rules, but you know, I don't
that's
know.
That's what I've heard.
Rules have been.
What do you think they're
made to be broken, right? 3.3 million views. That is a lot for
good.
A show of this scale. And considering these are short episodes that basically filling people in into canon. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. It doesn't set the world on fire. It's not meant to. It looks fantastic. I think we're going to love this. Tales of the Jedi, mate, was brilliant. And I think it was better than expected.
Definitely.
Would you say?
Definitely. I thought it was going to be okay. I thought it was going to be fine. And I thought it would do the kind of things that I like when Lucasfilm do, which is fill us in on the backstory of characters that we don't really need to know about, but it's pretty cool to know. You know, it makes that Wikipedia page that bit more substantial. But instead, with Dooku, they were like, you know, hold my Bespin breeze. And they just absolutely gave us some real fire. And people would argue with the Ahsoka one as well. That they were great. I'm glad that I quite like the choice of characters here. I know, of course, as is Star Wars now, there are people who don't like the choice of characters. But, you know, Morgan, Elsbeth and Thrawn, we don't know how they became mates. They just are mates in Mando and Ahsoka. This fills that in. We get to see more about the fall of Dathomir. We see Grievous. And then for Barriss, you know, for the last 11, 12 years, people have been saying, where's Barriss Offee? She blew up the Jedi Temple. Never saw her again. Is she Merrick? Is she this, that? Is she Snoke? It's a big deal that she's coming back, and the story implications could be pretty dirty because, you know, we know Anakin, he don't like Barriss, and she's now her boss by the looks of it. I've got an idea where they're going to go with that story, but I thought it was looked really good. I think she'll be like, oh, I don't want to be bad anymore, and then she'll become good and he'll kill her, but...
Yeah.
That's what is going to happen, I think. But I think it looks great, mate.
You know, bring her back and get Vader to kill her.
There's a little bit of J.J. Abrams creeping in there. J.J. Abrams, just create a new character and don't explain nothing. Just don't.
Good story for another time. And J.J., you fool. I think it looks really cool, mate. And I know, and not to answer people's criticisms, but I've seen people say, oh, why are we getting these stories in short form? This should be their own series. And I said it on this show many times. Do you know how expensive it is to greenlight a series, let alone one which a Morgan Elsbeth series or a Barriss one isn't going to be as big as Mando. It's not going to be big as Ahsoka or even Boba Fett because the interest in the characters isn't there. But these series builds that interest. So for people to say, oh, it needs to be live action. No. not everything does. I said animation is the best place for stories half the time. And remember, some of these shorts might be 15, 16 minutes long, which is only just shy of a Clone Wars episode. So some of them, you know, they're not a million miles off a standard animated series season anyway, so episode. But colour me interested, mate. I think it looks great. We've only got like 2.5 weeks.
I know. So they
released a week's episode this. Done.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They released this on the 4th of April, right? So a month ahead of May the 4th, right? Star Wars Day. And I think that's why they did it. But again, why? It doesn't need... I know. Let's release the trailer a month before it comes out. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. You could have aired this trailer a lot sooner, I think, or even... You know, now I don't know.
No, you're right.
I'm not going to complain too much about that because, you know, at risk of just sound like I'm repeating myself this whole episode, which I'm probably going to do anyway, by the way.
But that's all built around the sheer volume. It's not to do with the fact that we're getting news. I'm with you here, and I don't want to talk for you, but I think we're on the same wavelength. It's more that we're getting all this stuff. Like, this is a great trailer. This is great, and this you could dissect this till the cows come home. But then you've got. Mm-hmm. Two or three other things that drop within 3 or 4 days, and you don't know where to start. So eventually, you just don't. So any kind of moaning will come more from there's just so much stuff to try and enjoy, but we haven't really had the time to do it.
Yes, exactly, mate. Exactly. Now, one thing I'm excited about is that Barisoffi theories will be put to bed.
Or is that Barisoffi?
Or is that Barisoffi? Or is that Barisoffi, you know, in any new Star Wars mythology coming out? Is that Barisoffi? No. No. Tells the Empire. We're going to kill her off, mate. We're going to close that book. Let's. Oh, very good. Kill her off. I was trying to think of an off pun there. Sounds like a sort of cheeky flavor of donut I'd find down Greg's.
It does.
I tell you what. Get a Greg's. Get a Greg's at the UK Pavilion at Epcot at Walt Disney World. It would do so well.
Do it.
Just saying.
Do it. Mate, that would blow the doors off. I mean, the Americans would love it. We know. Jimmy Adams loves it. He comes over here just for the Greg's. But, you know, I couldn't think of many Barisoffi jokes with the word off in it, which were suitable for the show. But, yeah, they're going to kill her offy. Let's just say that. Yeah, she'll turn good in the end. They'll kill her offy, which is fine, as long as it all comes down, mate, to the magical execution. Of it.
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
Here we go. Let's go down here.
Open up the water.
Here we go. So, I mean, I think that's what's going to happen.
Right.
And if it does, so be it, as long as they do it well, mate. But yeah, trailer looks good. All the episodes are dropping on May the 4th, as was the case with Tales of the Jedi. Yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to it, mate. I think there's going to be some great surprises in there. All of the voice cast you'd expect to be back are back. Animation looks top quality. And if anything, Tales of the Jedi was such a good show that this now has to at least match that. And anything other than that, I'm going to think, oh, no, come on. But that's, you know, let's hold Lucasfilm to such high standards because they've set them with Tales of the Jedi. Yeah, good trailer, mate. Really pleased with that.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. Excited for that, mate. Let's move on to something that was released only a few days later on the 9th of April. That's what I've got, 9th of April. Two million views uploaded by Ubisoft. Star Wars Outlaws official story trailer. Now, if you don't know, this is an open world, quote unquote, open world Star Wars RPG game coming to next gen consoles, PC. Ubisoft don't have the best reputation in the industry at the moment. Worth noting that a lot of gamers have kind of a lack of trust in a lot of game studios at the moment too. However, Ubisoft make it so difficult to support and like them sometimes, right? Just sometimes. So, you know, I'll say that, but I don't know. Let's watch the trailer and get into a bit more dialogue about the context around Outlaws in a second. What do you reckon? All right.
Yes, let's do it. You do the 3, 2, 1, go again, mate, and we'll talk over the trailer, guys.
Okay, all right. 3, 2, 1, go. Little coin.
Canto bike.
Represents some of the most powerful Canto bike, yeah. Who's this bloke?
It's Slimo or something. Crimson Dawn.
Huts. All the different houses. Yeah, okay. For the
underworld. He looks reckon he looks like the original Jabba the Hutt design.
Oh, he does. That looks cool.
That's a Kiva, I think, from the Aftermath books, which is insane.
Oh, I didn't know that. K-Vess. Okay.
There she is.
Yeah.
Oh, and the internet's favorite new punching bag.
Zarek Besh. What, K-Vess?
Yep.
All right. Who are these guys?
Oh, that's one of the new, faction.
I love that a droid that has a coat. I know I've said that before, but I'm all about it. Han Solo at Jabba's Palace? Question mark.
Yes.
Okay,
so that's I can't remember what the planet's called now, but that's the main one. There's Tatooine.
Oh, that looks cool. Tatooine? Where was Tatooine?
The orange one with the twin suns and that big tower. Jabba, right? There's Jabba. We'll talk about him in a minute, won't we?
Yeah, big time. For about Imperial base. It's
just been me. This bit I relate to an awful lot in a minute. Doing what we have to. Nick's what a little lad that little dog is. Like him an awful lot.
Love the Nick's. One shot at freedom. Okay. But if we're gonna looks very cool. The landscape looks good.
Oh, cool. There he is. Buff droid. And the right
ship. Droid with the coat.
Yeah, where she gets into the seat and she's too small. I get that a lot. So that's the Trailblazer, I think that ship's called.
Because that's cool design. In the outer rim. Oh, sweet. Who's the other character there? With the shaved head. Who knows?
Wikipedia will tell me that.
Oh, right, okay. Okay. Yeah.
A lot of so fighters.
Okay, a little bit like scaling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Jedi Survivor.
Sarlacc. Death Troopers.
That bit actually looks very Jedi Survivor.
Ooh. Star Wars
Outlaws. And that's it.
Great Dragon.
Pre-order. Why do you need... You don't need to pre-order, guys, just as a heads up.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can just get a digital download day one. Right.
August the 30th, it comes out. August the 30th, 2024, this game is coming out. So before we talk about any of the external factors surrounding the release and all the other hoopla, this is we've seen a trailer for Outlaws, but this is our first kind of real beefy look where we start to get the names of the characters, which I'll get in a minute. What did you think of this trailer then? So it's a smuggler-centric one. I don't expect no Jedis at the minute, guys.
I think it's a decent trailer. Doesn't blow me away. It risks being a little bit vanilla, a little bit bland. For an open world Star Wars game, I think, and maybe it's related to how the trailer was presented, how the new planets, new things were presented. I say new, that's the issue. We've seen a lot of this stuff before, haven't we? We've seen TIE fighters chasing ships. I can do that in other games. We've seen a lot of new planets. We've seen Tatooine. I've seen all of these things in video games prior. So what's new? Okay, I know this is a story trailer. I think I would have kept it a little bit more mysterious. I think I would have gone for, lack of a better expression, a more conservative approach to the trailer. You know, less is more, mate. It seems a little bit generic. Maybe I'm being really harsh, but to me, as someone who loves Star Wars games, adores Star Wars pretty much from if you're a long time listener, you know that we're pretty fair, we're pretty balanced. This trailer lacks a je ne sais quoi. It lacks a little bit of force magic. I don't know. Yeah, a little bit of aromat, mate, on the old cheeky French fries. What are you saying, mate? Are you more up on it, or are you about the same?
I'd say I'm more up on it, but that's not to say that it blew me away as such.
Right.
I liked it. I really did. I liked what we saw. I liked the look of the planets only because we're getting two from the sequels, Canto Bight or Cantonica and Kijimi. Yeah, that's cool. Let's see a bit more of those places. I like it because Akiva, which originated in Aftermath, you know, they're given that its dues. And from what I've heard, they really did their homework on how to bring it to life based on Chuck Wendig's words. I love it. And I don't know if we're going to see anywhere else as well. I think it's called Toshara is the main kind of hub, a bit like Kobo was in Jedi Survivor. I think it's called, yes, Toshara. That's going to be your main hub. But yeah, I thought I know what you mean. There was nothing in the trailer which I thought that looks new and fresh, and it doesn't even need to be original necessarily. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, it's Star Wars. There's always going to be that clamour for the things we've seen before. And I do think towards the end, they were like Death Trooper, Chicken Walker, Sarlacc. There's the things you like, guys. There they are.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was nothing in it which jumped out necessarily, other than the fact that it looks like a lot of fun. I think the graphics that we've seen so far look great. And it's more the things I'm hearing outside of this now. The game developers, which is getting me excited, like how they're talking about the wanted system, how you get in with these crews and what happens if you betray them, the open worldness of it all, like we're going from planet to planet in, you know, real time, quote unquote, things like that, and the traversal terrain, all that kind of, that gets me more excited than what I saw in the trailer. But the trailer didn't do anything to dampen my expectations. I just want a fun Star Wars game where I can shoot some fools up, you know, travel to planets and have a great time. So I think, yeah, I thought it was a good trailer. Could they have pulled back and built on the intrigue a bit more by showing less? Or could they have actually shown more of what is original about this story, maybe? Mm. But, you know, and, you know, we know the factions in it. We know that Crimson Dawn are going to be in it. So all the Solo heads out there are going to get a bit more Kira, which is good, you know, continue the story. Yeah,
right, that's again, confirmed, right? That is
confirmed. She is in the game. I believe it isn't Amelia Clark voicing the character. She didn't voice her in Forces of Destiny either. But she's in the game. That's not a spoiler. That is what Ubisoft have come out in an interview, I think, with IGN or someone, and gave a screenshot as well. But this is what we're talking about. They dropped the trailer, and then they had these great interviews with IGN, StarWars.com, and all of these interviews are filled with such info and lore dumps for the game, essentially, for the production, that you kind of get a little bit lost. But yeah, I like the trailer. Didn't blow me away, but it's a solid 7 out of 10 for me, mate, and I'm going to get it. Of course I am.
Yeah.
And I'm going to play it, and yeah, I'm going to be wishing I was that buff battle droid as well.
Yeah, I know. Spot on, mate. Spot on. I think this could be a lot of fun. I think it has the potential to be real fun. With this, it's the first of its kind. Like just loading up an open world RPG. Now, I was really excited for Starfield, right? Bethesda's latest sort of flagship game that was and currently is an Xbox exclusive. You can get it with Game Pass. Huge, huge game. I had a lot of hype for it and I had a lot of fun with it for a few days. But after, you know, a week or two, the game just felt so large and at times so lonely that I don't know. It felt like it was a chore. It felt daunting, almost having to load it up. You know, and that's the danger of any sort of large scale open, quote unquote, open world game. That's the beauty with something like Jedi Survivor, Jedi Fallen Order, particularly Survivor, where there is an open world sort of element to the game, to the story, but it is still linear. There is still a start to finish. And I hope that Outlaws meets that happy in between. And there are other games, and listen, I'm not a gamer, I'm not a full-time gamer, I'm not up to date with this stuff. I'll play the new Star Wars stuff, I'll play some other video games too, but only occasionally, very casual. So hopefully they find a happy medium, mate. That's what I'm trying to say. The trailer looks decent. I'm not sitting there. I think I watched this in like a queue or something for a ride, and I was like, yeah, I was like, yeah, it looks good.
It looks fine. It's, no,
yeah,
it
looks fine, yeah. Looks
need
fine.
More greasy money, baby. But yeah, like, you can't all have that, can you? But yeah, I've got the Mantis up. See, this is another thing as well. I've got the Mantis up there, 3D printed. I like the look of the new ship, but it's not one where I'd be like, yeah, man, I want to 3D print that new ship. It looks okay.
That was when that Foxy did that.
Chris Fox. Chris Fox. Congratulations, Chris Fox, on the arrival of his little one to you and your missus.
Lovely news.
He 3D printed that for me. Did a great job. And my old man Dave, he's been painting models for about 40 years. He did it up, and so much so that the Respawn team all liked it and commented on how great it looked, because you can't get a model of it anywhere.
That's Dave. That's Dave. Dad's Dave, right? Dave.
That's
Hudson,
yeah. That's my governor.
Not Dave Sexy Knees. Dave Dunn, right?
I mean, I reckon Dave Dunn. You know, it's not much. If he turns his hand to anything, he can get it done. You know, he'd better.
Although
do it,
people do call him Dad or Daddy. You know, I've Daddy, heard that. So
yeah, but we've all seen Diamond Dave. But yeah, man. Listen, I like the look of the game. I am more excited than maybe I sound for it. But the trailer didn't necessarily add to that. It's more the other stuff. Now, there is a lot of hoopla going on online now about the release of this thing, about Kay herself. And just to, for my OCD, the shaven-headed bounty hunter lady is called Vale, because I said I'd say it. I've said it now. So Vale was in, like, bridal veil and all that. But
original, okay.
No, someone got married the day they come up with that. But so firstly, you know, listen, I'm not going to linger too long on this because I am genuinely embarrassed that it's even a thing. But lots of people are very upset at how the lead character looks. They're very, very upset that, firstly, it's a woman. And I say that with all sincerity. That lots of people say, I want to customize. I don't want to play. There are people who won't play this game because of who the lead is. And lots of people commenting on the look of the character, which, you know, it's just stupid. I think, you know, what, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. You win some, lose some. I think Kay Vess as a character she seems quite cool. I don't know an awful lot about the character. She might be boring as hell. She might be really charismatic and fun. We don't know yet. I'm not going to write the character off just because she's got an 80s perm. But, you know, a lot of people have said about Sigourney Weaver and Alien. That is what she looks like. And no one was complaining then, guys. So,
I was going to say, by the way, if I'm peeking at any times, I haven't got a pop shield. I haven't got like any of that. I didn't bring
He's
that.
He's just excited.
So, sorry. I'm just excited. It's raw, mate. It's raw, right? I was going to say, I think it's consciously meant to be, like the design choice of the character is meant to be a nod to the 80s, because this is set in between Empire and Jedi, right?
Jedi, yeah. Yeah, that's only, what, a year or two, I think so. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, of course.
It, in real world, it's kind of meant to be 1981, 1982, right?
Yes, you're
in between Empire and Jedi. So,
and Jedi.
Yeah, I don't. Who cares? Like you said, if the character works, if the writing works, I don't care. Would I have liked to have a customizable character? Maybe. Yeah, maybe. But I just had that in Starfield. And guess what? I'm not bothered about Starfield. And I was well excited for that.
That's it. So your reasons for wanting that are different to other people, mind. You just want to change it up. It's not because I don't want to play as a woman.
It's fun, but like, even when I, like, you know, when I was younger playing Skyrim sometimes, you know, or more so Oblivion would be more accurate, you know, I'd have different characters.
Yeah,
for different guilds and different storylines, because I didn't like crossing over like good story arcs and bad story. I wanted to keep them separate. And so sometimes if I was like a stealth assassin, I'd make her a chick, make her a girl, make her a woman, because I was like, yeah, I think that's more in keeping with in my own headcanon. I was like, who cares? Is it that much? It's not a big deal.
Yeah,
it's not that deep.
I just
don't get it, mate. It's not that deep. It's really not that. I don't know.
And let's not. And also, mate, there are a lot of people who will be very pleased that they can play as a woman. Finally, in a Star Wars, there's so many different factors here, and I just can't fathom why people get so upset about stuff like that.
Oh, dude.
What I can fathom people getting upset about is, and I do think this has been overblown a little bit as well, but it's a whole season pass discussion now that's going on. Now, Ubisoft, a season pass and Ubisoft aren't new. They go hand in hand. Now, in terms of GBP in pounds sterling, your base game for Outlaws, the standard edition, is going to be £60. Give or take, it's going to be £60.
Okay.
And that gives you the base game and I believe a couple of cosmetics for the ship, a couple of things to make the ship look a little bit cooler.
Yeah.
Now, you've then got two other levels. You've got a gold edition for £95, which includes the season pass, which we'll get to. And then you've got an ultimate edition, Lukey boy, which is £115, which has the season pass and extra cosmetics. Now, what's getting people a little bit upset is Ubisoft has said you'll need to buy the gold or ultimate edition to play the Jabba's Gambit mission, which is an exclusive mission available at launch. Now they've also they've come out since and kind of said no, Jabba's in the game, don't worry, he's always going to be there, but there is now essentially an exclusive mission part of the game behind a paywall, and it's a fairly substantial £30 paywall, that's in British terms, or almost double that, almost £60 if you want to get the big boy. So you're paying a lot of money, mate, for the chance to play a DLC content essentially a bit early and some cosmetics. What are your thoughts on season passes and content being behind a paywall?
Oh, it's just so boring, isn't it? It's so boring. Just give me the game. I don't know if it's because, you know, we grew up in a different time, you know, 90s and the 2000s, where you buy a game, that's the game.
Yeah, the game.
And because of release, because of lack of an internet connection, you know, online gaming kind of had its big renaissance during the late 2000s, really early 2010s. Yep. That's where it really took off and was reliable, right? Reliable.
Keyword.
Games generally had to be good at release. They had to work at release because you're not releasing patches for it, right?
What a bad bar to have to hit. The game's got to be good at release.
I know, mate. It's outrageous, isn't it? Outrageous. And this kind of trend with these big studios saying, hey, get the base game or subscribe to this and get it 3 days early. Or if you do this, get it a few days early. Oh, mate, it is so tedious. So tedious. I understand that these companies have to make some money, right? I get that. But I don't know, mate.
Stinks.
You know, missions behind paywall, it's not that deep. Are people going to care in the first place? Make it good at the beginning. Make the game appealing for a large market from the get-go, and the longevity of the game will follow. In some cases, rare cases, Star Wars Battlefront, I can see, mate. I know you're in the process of packing. You know, you've got some exciting news in personal life and stuff, but you've got Battlefront 2 behind you, right?
Man. PS4.
You know, we got that in 2017, didn't we? Like, you and I, loads of other sick heads, all the Star Wars fans got that game. At release, that game was a bit of a mess, right? It was, it was not perfect. But with time, with patches, with one of the most downvoted comment on Reddit history, you know, the community gave a lot of feedback to this game. They fixed it, and the longevity of this game has been really, really impressive. I saw a stat the other day saying that Star Wars Battlefront 2 was what, like the sixth most downloaded game? On like PlayStation and Xbox, like how can a game
that at least in 2017, crazy?
It's crazy, mate. But the appeal is there with an RPG game. You just don't have that. You need to get it right from the get go, and that's what some of these more modern Star Wars games have had. So I know Survivor had some issues at the beginning.
Oh, did it?
I seem to have a pretty good experience with it from day one. I don't know if it's because I've got a
Star Wars a bit better. I think
you're right. You got PS5. I've got the Series X. We've got top of the line consoles. I know we don't do PC gaming. I know the PC guys had way more issues with that.
Yep.
there is some irony there because PC is usually the better machine, but requires a bit more maintenance. Just going back to Ubisoft, I'm on the website now. Obviously, it's coming up in USD because I'm in the US at the moment. But standard edition, $70. Gold edition, $110. And what it says, you get a season pass. Season pass for what?
Exclusive Jabba's mission, mate. And I think Jabba's, I don't know if it's this one or the next one, but you get to play the game
boring.
3 days early. Like, for the sake of 3 days, I'll save the money.
It's so boring. Don't call it a season pass. A season pass. I think of football. I think of sport.
Yes.
Do you? Why call it a season pass? Just say two extra missions. Stop trying it's so stupid. Like, who came up with this? And then the next one, $130.
That's insanity.
You get some more skins, right, as well as the three-day early access, like Matty Boyd said. Get season pass, so two extra missions, and a digital art book. A digital art book, not physical art book.
Yeah.
A digital art book, which people will, of course, be screenshotting and putting on Instagram, putting on Twitter, putting on TikTok, Facebook the next day. Yeah. I don't get it, mate. This is so short-sighted again. And it's a shame because we should be talking about the game right now. And we're dedicating, on this episode of the poddy, we're dedicating a similar amount of time of like the reaction to the trailer and gameplay and story and stuff, which albeit, okay, bit... You know, we're moderately impressed by, not blown away by, but now we're talking about this and it's negative because guess what? It is negative. This is stupid.
It is, mate.
It's stupid.
It is, mate. AAA studios. And again, like you, I'm not a gamer. I'm not a gamer. I don't, but I know enough about, I think like you, we know kind of the enough about the industry to say, right, this studio does that. These are the ones people seem to like. These are the ones they don't. However, as a consumer, and I know that's a dirty word to a lot of people, someone who's going to buy this game, mate, if I'm paying 60 quid for it in this day and age when, you know, it's things are expensive, if I'm paying 60 big ones, I want give me the game and don't give me the excuse that I've got to have a day one patch or day zero patch. Give me the game finished. Does that make me an entitled gamer? No, it makes me somebody who's paid a lot of money for something you've been telling me for the last 2 years is going to be incredibly good. I don't then want to pay an extra £40 to play it early to get exclusive missions. Listen, DLC content I have no issue with. I loved it when Battlefront 2015 did that. We got like Scarif and Bespin, but we also knew that was coming. That was marketed as DLC, not season pass. But yeah, AAA studios really wire me up with Survivor. You know, what I think is the best story we've had in Star Wars in years. To a lot of people, they don't get that experience I got because their gaming experience was destroyed because EA and Respawn put that thing out, even though they delayed it, they put it out far too early, and it was abysmal at launch. It really was. It's going to call it what it was. It's an abysmal launch. Battlefront 2 had the whole loot box thing, loot crate thing. I just don't get it. The whole digital art book, yeah, like you say, it's going to be online within seconds. The only other thing is you put this out 3 days early, spoilers will be out. And screenshots from the game will be out early as well. So you are punishing people. And that may seem like a bit of an over-exaggeration, but I'm not paying that money to get it 3 days early.
No.
I also then don't want to have to think, well, I better not go on YouTube in case somebody's uploaded the end of the game because it is still story-driven. I want to experience that for myself because why? I'm going to spend £60 to do for the privilege. I don't want it to be ruined. I just don't like the idea of it. But like you say, it's a business. They are there to make money. I don't care about cosmetics. I know a lot of people do, and I know you said you like the idea of customization. It's not a... I'm not a big believer in all that. I think it's fun, but it's not a game changer, and I certainly wouldn't pay an extra 30, 40 quid just to get some more skins because it's not going to change my gaming experience at the end of the day. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't like the news, mate. Though Jabba is in the game, Ubisoft have said Jabba is still in the base game. You're not missing out on Jabba. It's just these specific missions.
I better be able to go to Jabba's palace. You know, give me some special edition goodness. Yeah. Or even, you know, throw in some Lapti Neck. Why not? They've got to do that.
Do it. Right?
No brainer in it. Listen, it's a new Star Wars game. Am I going to play it the week it comes out? Yes, I am. And when
we're excited for it. Don't get us wrong there, guys. We're excited for it.
30th of August, right? This comes out?
30th of August, yeah, mate. So four months away.
Sick. Just before the autumn. Yeah, sounds about right. Love it. I'm here Love for a new it. Game in the autumn. I'm That's our season, it. Isn't it, mate?
There's that week's episode sorted as well. Thanks, guys, for sorting our episodes out. Outlaws reaction.
I was talking to my mate, Matt Royal, who was a guest on my Patreon years ago, and he runs his own podcast, Sending Signals. It's a music podcast. Check it out if you get a moment. Well, I say music, it's creativity and music, and he interviews some really, really cool people, actually.
Nice.
And he was saying to me, I was with him the other day, and he was going, you guys really landed on your feet when you decided to do a Star Wars podcast in like the mid-2010s. I was like, yeah. And he goes, yeah, because like you get so much news like all the time.
Look what we're talking about now. Too much in one go. But people, I know you said it, mate. People still say to me to this day, people who know I've done this for 6 years now, how do you find something new to talk about each week? And now I'm just like, look, there just is. It's just the way it is. Without getting too deep to them, I was like, there's plenty. And we ain't even finished, are we, with this one?
And when we don't have news, we talk about Attack of the Clones, you know?
That's right.
Listen, I just want to say as well, I'm looking at this page, and I know I'm aware that Mandalorian made a concise effort to highlight this on our Discord server, and he is bang on with this, right? From what I understand and from what he understands, this is worth saying, right? So on all this money stuff, the highest level of the Ultimate Edition of Star Wars Outlaws Ultimate Edition is $130 US. I don't know what that is in pounds, like 120 115 quid, right? Now, there is something, if you scroll to the bottom, it says day one with Ubisoft Plus. Ubisoft Plus. What is that? Okay. Subscription service, mate. It's a subscription service. You can sign up. You can play Ubisoft's like backlog of video games, and you can play games early, including Star Wars Outlaws, because Ubisoft are publishing and developing this game. And at that money, £15 a month, no minimum term.
Well,
it works on PC and Xbox, not PlayStation just at the moment. So for my PC and Xbox people, it gives you access to all the Ubisoft library. So the Ultimate Edition can be played in theory for £15 a month.
Not so bad, actually.
You can get it 3 days early, mate. And let's say you try and complete the game in a month. Star Wars Outlaws just cost you 15 quid, mate. Try and do it in 2 months, 30 quid. Now, that was the price of games when I was young, you know, 30 quid for a video game. Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, okay, you know, that's that sounds about right. You know, games now costing 70 quid. I'm thinking,
I can't be dealing, mate.
When did games get to...
Well, even if you complete it within a weekend, £15 still isn't that bad. You pay that much to go to the cinema to watch a film. You know, 15 quid for I don't think they've released the figures, but I imagine you've probably got 20 hours at least worth of story here. And then, countless hours. Because someone like me, I'll get the game and I'll play the story just so I don't get spoiled. That's just my kind of OCD-ness. I don't want to go online and be spoiled. And then... And it also helps my reaction as well for the show. But then I'll go back and play and I'll just explore and do all the other stuff. But for 15 quid, mate, that's a bit different. For me on PlayStation, I don't get the benefit of that. But I'm sure there'll be some workaround for that. But listen, I am still excited for this game. And I've said that twice now, but I'm just more annoyed at the hoopla that's surrounding it, whether that is the online discourse, which is just what it is now. We're just going to have to turn to just accept it, not in a good way. I mean, it's always going to be there. But also, the business side of it. I just want to play a game. At the end of the day, boil it down, I just want to play a game. I want to sit there with a controller and play a game on my television.
That's it.
And I want to pay £70 for something that isn't complete. Another thing on that, you got to make sure this game is ready. on August the 30th, it has to be ready. We can't be hearing about a buggy release. We cannot be hearing about a Jedi Survivor level release, for certainly for the PC anyway.
Yeah.
It's got to be ready. So, but yeah, I'm excited for it though. The trailer didn't get me pumped, but I'm still excited and I can't wait to play as Kay, you know, kick Nyx around a little bit. We love Nyx, and see that droid, and you know, go and beat up Bib Fortuna or something as well. I can't wait.
Mate, I hope we see some aliens and creatures and like weirdness. There's a little bit of that in the trailer, and I was yeah, like, yeah. Okay. But yeah, watch this space. We're going to be covering that.
Yes.
You know, closer to release.
Hi, this is Mike Quinn.
This is Vanessa Marshall.
This is Brendan Wayne.
This is Guy Henry.
This is Kyle Newman, director of Fanboys and producer of Disturbance in the Force, and you're listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
Right, let's crack on, mate. Let's crack on. The Mandalorian and Grogu film is confirmed to be releasing on the 22nd of May, 2026. This is on the Disney release schedule, right? It's official. A May Star Wars film for the first time since Solo, a Star Wars Story in 2018. And before that, Revenge of the Sith in 2005. I'm a little bit disappointed it's not a December release, mate. I can't lie to you. I love a December Star Wars. People are off. I don't know.
Cold.
Yeah.
Warmthy. It's mate, it's all about aesthetic for me. It's, you know, it's a time of year where the nights draw in earlier. It's cold, but you go into the cinema and it's just, I don't know, something a bit more exciting about going to the cinema theater when it's dark and coming out when it's darker. I don't know what it is. It's the same as people who want to watch football under the floodlights. You know, there's something about that atmosphere. Maybe it's because they're also going to drop a film in December 2026. You know, there's that.
Well, that's the rumor. I don't subscribe to that. Rumor. I don't think they'll. I know that is what's scheduled as a placeholder. I doubt that Rey film's coming out that same year, mate. I really doubt it.
Yeah, they've got to get a giggle on with that. I mean, again, they can get it out by 2026 December. That's 2.5 years. They can do if they want to, but it's whether or not they've learned any lessons is the main thing. It's let's be patient. 2026 for Mando. I mean, the Mandalorian itself has a all over the place release schedule. It sometimes comes out in November, other times it comes out a bit later, a bit earlier. So that doesn't really matter to me. I'm more interested though. I'm going to ask you the question. So for the date, great, we've got a date. Let's hope they stick to it. Nothing really came out of it other than for the reasons you said, Star Wars is back in May. Are they keeping the title? I said previously that they definitely are, but do you reckon they're still keeping that title of The Mandalorian and Grogu? Do you think they'll subtitle it at all, or colon something? Or
I seem to be more up on the title than a lot of my like friends and family. You know, they're like my brothers. Like, really? Is that the name? And, you know, it doesn't resonate with them. For me, I think it kind of works. But one thing I have thought about, or something that's maybe been brought to my attention, is that the thing I liked about the title, The Mandalorian, is it can mean a few different things, right? It can mean Din Djarin. It can mean Bo-Katan at points. But really, it's Din. And it's Grogu, and The Mandalorian, is it about Din or is it actually about Grogu? With the inclusion of The Mandalorian and Grogu, it completely eliminates that. And it's a more literal title, which is something that we've lent into in Star Wars in the past few years, right? Ahsoka is just called Ahsoka. Solo, just called Solo. It's Marvel, isn't it? That's what comic book films do, right?
It's recognizable.
It's literal. It's literal. And yes, you're right. It is recognizable. So's The Mandalorian. I would go for a name change. I would call it The Mandalorian .. You know, The Phantom. The Phantom Gideon.
Mate,
Gideon strikes back.
The clone without a moustache. It's money. I've always said that little green guy, he's pretty green all over. You put the word "and Grogu" in it, people know that he's going to be in it. Those who dislike the Mandalorian because of Baby Yoda are more likely to go and see it. Like you said, it's very literal. There's no, oh, I wonder if Baby Yoda's going to be in it. No, he is. He's on the poster. His name's in the title. Mm-hmm. All you guys who love Mandalorian because of him, but maybe don't like Star Wars, you can come and watch this because you know your green buddy's going to be in there. I think that is, to me, why they won't change it. And again, I don't mind the title. It doesn't really roll off the tongue. The Mandalorian and Grogu is quite a long title for a Star Wars, but then you could say the same with The Empire Strikes Back, I guess, or The Rise of Skywalker. But, I don't mind the title. I know a lot of people seem to say it's a little bit kind of a bit cheesy, bland, a bit vanilla. Yeah, but your selling point is people loving The Mandalorian, people love Grogu. We just call the film that. I can't see it being like an Andor or like Ahsoka, for example, maybe less so Ahsoka, where their name is in the title, but they're not the focus. This is going to be about The Mandalorian and Grogu, if you ask me. I think this is going to be a 2-hour mission. It's going to be great. We're all going to love it. And then we're going to be like, right, let's move on to the next film, which isn't coming out in December.
Well,
who knows? See, I don't mind it too much. And I know a lot of people I know you don't like it. I don't mind it more because, you know, there's 7 months there in between to market that. But the question is, like, do you need to put those two films out? And I don't think you do. They've shown before you don't need to. But space, I don't want to see Ray out, come out in May.
Space it out. Space it galaxy. Out. It doesn't need to, you know, what's the rush?
That's it.
What's the rush? Like, just chill out, lads. Chill out. I know Disney wanna earn a lot of money back on box office. That's where the money is. That's where the money is.
Absolutely.
And cinema is back. I know, look, some films are struggling, but cinema's back, right? You're the film guy, Matt. You're the film guy.
Cinema. Cinema's back.
Mate.
Cinema is back. I just wish films were a little bit shorter. But cinema is back, mate. People are talking about films again. And you said it before. What better way to pretty much guarantee a pretty decent return on your investment? Stick a Mandalorian and Grogu film out as your first film back in cinemas for Lucasfilm. It's a smart decision for me.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Talking of like shorter run times, mate. I on the flight on the way here, I decided to put on The Marvels. You know, because I've seen a wee bit of Miss Marvel. I saw Captain Marvel. I saw WandaVision. I've kept up with a lot of the MCU, right? And I was like, do you know what? Let me give this a go. And I was like, wow, runtime, less than 2 hours, you know?
No.
And you can finish it. You can finish like the credits and stuff. And you know what? I put it on. It's a Marvel film. It's a bit predictable. But I know some people really did dislike this film. I thought it was quite fun. And a lot of that is I thought, yeah, it's below 2 hours, mate. I'm not bothered. I'm not sitting there just like gomming out at like, you know, just loads of CG and just like,
Quantumania.
Yeah, of course there's CG, but something like Quantumania thinks it's the bee's knees when quite frankly, it's not. It's so self-aware. It's so self-aware and thinks it's like this big deal in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah, mate, it wishes. It is.
Well, now it's main villain, ain't in it no more for real world reasons. Right. That film is now even more redundant. I'm glad you like the Marvels though, mate, because I thought it was one of the people who came out and said, it's fun. It's a bit of a throwback. It's fun. I agree. And I don't mean this term in the internet term, but, you know, it's not offensive. It's just there having a good time. It knows what it is. And is it the best Marvel film? No, but it's fun.
Totally agree.
Marvel's great.
A lot of films could learn from that, right? So whoever's decision it was to have it as a shorter film, look, I know it's not for everyone. I get there are things in it. There are things in it that I was like, well, a bit questionable. Maybe it was because I was on a flight and I was just like happy
The villain's cack.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, the villain was awful. The acting, the villain's acting was actually shocking as well. I was like,
Loki's wife, Tom Hiddleston's wife, I believe.
Dire. Is it really? No way.
I believe it is, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. interesting.
Generally, did good actress, but yeah, in that film, I was like, yeah, just saying it.
But listen, it was good fun. Anyway, right, we've done Mando and Grogu. Right, Acolyte stuff. You're going to need to fill me in, Craig David style, because they've been dropping Acolyte news. Acolyte Empire magazine. Dropped already?
That came out on the same day as the Tales of the Empire thing, I think, on the same day as a trailer. Wild. And then they've had an Entertainment Weekly article as well, which is with Daphne Keane.
Absolutely shocking.
Good interview, to be fair. Again, and that's what we've been saying up top, lads, is that we're not annoyed that we're getting news. It's just the amount of it, because there's so much good stuff in it. Like the Entertainment Weekly. It is. The Daphne Keane interview. He's got some great sound bites in it. The Empire article, great sound bites. But when you're also trying to talk about, oh, Barriss is back and, oh, Grievous, it all gets lost in this wild Mandalorian casserole, of which, you know, we're choking it down a little bit. But, yeah, there has been an awful... There's been a lot of images released from the Empire magazine article of all of the Jedi in the series. Still no real word about any of the naughty ones, any of the baddies or anything like that. And right. You know, the art and the images have been pretty cool. You know, we're not seeing anything we didn't necessarily see in the trailer. We're seeing a few more lightsabers maybe. And it's just building up the idea that this is a different era, slightly darker era. And Daphne Keane in her Entertainment Weekly interview was saying how much, you know, she absolutely loves the Duel of the Fates fight in The Phantom Menace, because of course she does, she's got great taste. And you know, she was saying, on set we wanted to try and outdo that. Now I don't think she's saying, you know, we have done, or that we definitely have done, or everyone's going to think that, but you know, I love the fact they were like, we wanted to outdo the most iconic lightsaber duel in Star Wars history. If you're going to swing, you might as well swing for the fences and hit a home run. So I was really, really pleased to hear that, and hopefully that means we're going to get some absolutely boss choreography, because some of the fight choreography in other shows, Ahsoka, has been a little bit ropey recently, and I just want to get back to some like proper decent choreography. And we're finding out a bit more about her character, who's called Jeki Lon, who's a Padawan. And you know, they're just talking about her growing up with playing lightsabers in the streets, which is a very relatable thing as well. But yeah, the Acolyte train has now started. Leslie Headland's coming out talking about Vernestra Rowe and saying, this is a different character from the books. This is 200 years later. She's seen some stuff here, guys. You're going to see, you know, for all of those who've read the books, same person, different motives. I love it. And then she's talking about the other characters, and Carrie Ann Moss has been talking about her character. It's very cool little sound bites, but they're really amping it up. But one thing we're not finding out about Lukey Boy is who are the bad guys. And that is what I love. I don't want the marketing to say the bad guys are this mysterious cult or this faction. I want to find out when I watch it. I hope they're holding it back, because it's a reveal. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. I've been really enjoying the sound bites, the photos, the articles that have been coming out. It's just getting me more and more excited for that June the 4th release. So we've got May the 4th is Tales of the Empire. June the 4th, The Acolyte begins with a double episode. But I know you've been catching up with all of the news, but have you been able to catch any of the photos or any of the quotes coming out of this?
Again, mostly from cues and lines at Disney. on my phone. So I feel like I've not done it justice. Do you know what I mean? And again, that's my circumstance. That's my situation, right? As opposed to like the Star Wars or Empire's problem. I would have spaced this out. Absolutely. There you go. Ring, ring. I've said it again. Some of these photos are dead cool though, mate. Really cool photos. Really cool sets. Practical sets. One thing I really, really notice: aliens, creatures that are physically there, you know, dirt that's actually there, buildings that you can reach out and touch. Yeah, I love a building, you know.
It
looks pretty good, mate. It looks pretty good. There was another photo I saw. So I'm looking at the Empire magazine photos at the moment, but there were some Entertainment Weekly photos, and one of those looked a little bit ropey.
but it could be the, oh, I hate saying this because I take photos, but it might be to do with the photographer. I don't know. Entertainment Weekly, that Acolyte. Let me see. But no, the Empire magazine photos look absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. The set ones and the behind the scene ones. Behind the scenes ones. Yeah. They look really, really, really cool. Yeah, it was the Entertainment Weekly. Let me scroll down. Oh, no.
God, I've got to see this now.
No, do you know what? I'll send a link. I'll try and find it and I'll send a link. But what are your impressions, mate? You like the photos? You up on it?
Yeah, man. You know, I've been up on the Acolyte for a long time now. Just wanted to see more about it. And what I'm seeing is exciting. You know, everything looks like it should do. Like from what they've told us and what we know about the High Republic era anyway, looks like it should do. They've said it's got this mystery thriller feel to it. And it sounds weird. Well, you know, you're a photographer. A picture's got to tell a story. I'm getting those darker vibes just from the pictures. It may even come down to things such as the lighting. But, you know, this is feeling like there's an ominous air to this show, which I find really exciting. And a lot of that is because I still don't know a lot about it. You know, Daphne Keane can come out and tell me about Jackie Lon, her character, and I love it. You can talk about Vanessa Rowe for days. I love it. Mm-hmm. But they're not telling us anything that we're not going to find out in the show. And that excites me. They're not saying too much and they're not showing too much. They're just showing Jedi and lightsabers. Anyone who loves Star Wars should be getting excited at many, many Jedi. But no, I'm excited, mate. I hope they keep this air of mystery up a little bit so we've got something to look forward to when we get into the show. But yeah, excited. Do you reckon we're going to get another trailer? Do you reckon we're going to get more articles like this? Or because we've got 2 months now. Oh, wow. We've got about 6 weeks till release date.
I think is it 6 weeks? Is that it?
Yeah, it's June the 4th. It comes out.
My days. That is not far away, is it?
Yeah. 6.5 weeks. Wow.
My word. Okay.
Acolyte recaps. Got to get that jingle ready, mate.
No, I need to get a graphic done, jingle done. Yeah, that is really crap. So we'll be halfway through the year before you know it. Now, that is depressing.
Don't say that. We're already a third of the way through. But do you reckon we're going to see more from this show, like substantially then before that?
Yeah. Yeah, there'll be more trailers. You know, because they always do those short trailers as well leading up to the show, which sometimes I watch. Sometimes I just leave because they add new footage.
I don't always watch them, yeah.
I don't always watch them. They're more for TV, though, aren't they? You know, like as in terrestrial, traditional cable TV and stuff. So, yes, I think we'll get new trailers. I think we're going to get the media sort of campaign and promotional campaign stuff. Yeah. So we'll start seeing these actors on late night talk shows, you know, on more magazines. They will be pushing this, you know, from what we understand and really from what anyone can deduce from the messages from Lucasfilm, from Disney, from Leslie Headland. This is quite clearly their flagship show, right? We have that on good authority that Lucasfilm, Disney consider this their main Lucasfilm project of 2024, right? So they will be pushing this, no doubt. So it's a no-brainer. We'll be getting more material. No doubt. No doubt in my mind. And they space it out, lads. Don't drop... Don't drop it on, because I can see what they're going to do. We'll get Tales of the Jedi
finale day or something.
Oh yeah, we'll get like Bad Batch finale, and then it will be Tales of the Empire, and we'll get Acolyte news on both of those days. So the Star Wars community, the people that like are your bread and butter of the community, are going to be talking about multiple things. So things will be lost in that. That's the only thing with this show. Look, mate, I'm loving all this news. I'm finding it therapeutic going through all of this, but you know, without this, I would still be like, come on lads, this is a lot.
And
I'm a massive fan, I keep up with a lot of things, you know, but come on guys, space it out. So let things breathe. I'm still convinced they should have started this way back in February. They should have, mate.
Yeah, I mean, they should have, but
should've,
now they've got to Shoulda, woulda, coulda. It's kind of it. Yes, like they should have done, but now they're playing catch up, kind of. But also because they got so much news to be dropping, and like you say, the Bad Batch, that's finishing in a couple of weeks' time. Like the series is finishing, so there's going to be a big push for that, a lot of marketing for that, and a lot of online discussion as well, especially when we get to that finale. So, and that's going to end around May the 1st, I think it is, which is then you've got Tales of the Empire 3 days later. So you run the risk of stepping on each other's toes, which I don't really like too much, but it's just a fast food world we live in.
Hi, this is Simon J. Williamson.
This is Max Lloyd-Jones.
This is Arida Cordova.
This is Pam Rose.
This is Christopher Sean. Kazuda Ziono in Star Wars Resistance. And you're listening to Star Wars Sessions, probably Britain's greatest Star Wars podcast.
You know what happens in a few weeks' time, mate? Like 2 weeks' time as well?
No. Oh, yeah.
Go on.
No, I'd say Phantom Menace. Oh, his celebration.
I was going to say, yes, Phantom Menace. And we're getting exclusive Acolyte footage with the Phantom Menace, aren't we, re-release?
Yes.
So that's a certainty. We're going to be getting that. Probably like a scene. I'd imagine a scene or two followed by a trailer for the Phantom Menace re-release and just reminding people of what the era is. And now that is a smart move. That's clever.
Very smart.
But yeah, that week on the 2nd, but I think it's more like the 1st for us at midnight, May, Star Wars Celebration Japan tickets go on sale.
Your wallets ready, guys. So you've got that on the same day as the Bad Batch finale. Then 3 days later, you've got the Tales of the Empire stir coming out as well. There's going to be a lot of discussion, mate. That ain't it. You know, listen, guys, we ain't going to keep you here all night, but we've got news about Andor coming out as well, which for me, that is the flagship show. It's the best thing they've done. But, we've been getting news coming out about that. Our boy, Tony Gilroy, who, you know, he always looks like he's a bit like Harrison Ford. I never quite know if he wants to start a fight or if that's just his natural resting place. But Gilroy, he was speaking to the Writers Guild of America East recently about Andor season 2, mate. And the thing I love about Gilroy, we've said about on the show before, if anyone else said this phrase, this quote attributed to him, I'd think he's doing a great job of marketing that show. Gilroy, we've said it before, we've seen him in that Andor panel at Celebration. He's so no nonsense. He's not here for the business. He's not here for the show business. He's here to do a job and get and do a job well. And he said, I'll quote this. This is what he said to WGA. He said, "I've been on Andor for 5 years now. We're finishing the second half. I've had a lot of fun over the years, but I don't know whether I've done anything as important as these 24 hours of storytelling we are doing now. I don't know if it's just because it's a thing I'm on, but I don't think so. I've never had the chance to work this big before." So, you know, Gilroy's coming out, and we know he's famously not the biggest Star Wars fan, working on something in the second half of Andor, which he says is the most important thing he's ever done. And this guy's done like the Bourne films. He's done a lot of stuff. Now, for him to come out, I don't believe this is just somebody a year out trying to sell their show. I believe in Tony. If that man ran for president or prime minister or mayor, I'd vote for him. I believe in Tony Gilroy. But this just dropped recently, and I saw it, and I was like, yeah, that's great to hear. You know, what did you think when you heard this? Because it could just be hyperbolic, like, oh, my show's so good. But I believe it from Gilroy.
Yeah, no, totally echo what you just said, mate. Totally agree. You know, from that Andor panel at Celebration, which in hindsight was one of the best panels that I think we went to.
Loved it.
He's such a refreshing creator, isn't he? And I think we got real fortunate when he joined the list of Star Wars creators. To me, mate, you can't get better than a sentence like this. And I know, listen, we've said that in the past. We've said that about creators like JJ worked on Rise of Skywalker. I know there's a lot of love for Tross, but there's issues with it as well. Andor season 1, lots of people aren't fans of that show. To them, it's not Star Warsy enough. It doesn't have enough charm. It doesn't have enough fantasy elements. Okay, look, I get that. Totally get that. Andor is becoming one of my favorite Star Wars things ever. ever, full stop. I'm finding it really rewatchable, just thoroughly enjoying it, mate. So these remarks, mate, are flattering, aren't they? You know, you can't get better commendation than this. I think this is a testament to the mythology itself. Dare I say, it seems like Gilroy's quite enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. Gilroy's having a great time. You can tell, and that's good to see, is there were people getting a bit upset that people in the writer's room for The Acolyte aren't Star Wars fans, whereas somebody like me, an intellectual, thinks that's great. I don't want everybody working on Star Wars to be a blubbering sycophant.
Me, an intellectual. What a statement. Get that on a t-shirt, mate.
I know. Anyone who's met me knows that ain't true, but I don't need everyone to be like Wikipedia expert. I don't need everyone to know Star Wars. I want them to tell me a story, which is what Gilroy's done. And we've got a great comment on Instagram. I know you're the IG guy, but I noticed this earlier on. It's from Liam Toms, our boy, Liam. He said, like you said, I just rewatched the Andor panel from Celebration last year. I was sort of in awe at the time when I was in the room. So it's good to listen into the details as to what the creators were saying, including Diego. I think Andor, like some of the earlier MCU films, are strong examples of telling great stories that are set in a particular universe rather than stories for a universe. The Andor story could be told in our own world without the fun fantasy elements, and it would be just as powerful. I guess this is why Tony et al. Are enjoying it so much. They are getting the opportunity to say something as creators. But it's just what you were saying there. I thought what Liam said about, it's a great story that's just set in this universe. And that's what I love. It's not like some of the more recent additions, potentially to Lucasfilm, certainly to Marvel. Yeah. They feel more like they're just, you know, they're making them for the universe rather than what they should be doing is writing a good story first. And I thought that was a very pertinent comment, because that is what Andor is. It's a great story with the Star Wars skin. Maybe not Star Wars-y for everything. Everyone, sorry. And you don't have to love Andor. You don't have to like it. But, you know, I it's a testament to Lucasfilm, Kathy Kennedy and the gang for getting the right people in the right places. You don't have to be the biggest Star Wars fan to tell the story. That's why you've got Filoni and all the other people there who can fill in the gaps and the story group to fill in those gaps. But I thought that was a very, very good comment, which kind of led from what you've just said, mate. But yeah, pleased to hear Gilroy coming out and talking with such praise and effusion about his show.
Well, Andor feels like it has such impetus, right? Season one, season two, Rogue One, done. Worth pointing out, Gilroy said 5 years. 5 years. That is Andor seasons one and two, and we've not even got season two yet. I can totally see why he's just happy with doing one and two for the time being.
No, we're going to do five.
I know, mate, but it just wouldn't have worked, right? Because of the aging of the cast, right? You wouldn't buy it. I wonder if we'll see Tony again on another Star Wars project. Maybe. I think we would be fortunate. I think it would be great even to have him in, just somewhat involved. And I know that Andor sets the standard for a lot of things. You know, I know Grant, Phantom Fanboy, always makes this comment. And a lot of the time, yeah, he's bang on the money. Andor, practically speaking, Andor has a show bible, right, for lack of a better expression, has a show bible, has a set of rules about the mythology, about like what contradictions you just have to avoid. Just don't do that. This character does this and this. This character believes this and this and this. Crazy when I found out that most Star Wars shows have not had that. They've not had that. And so you need a set of rules and principles for someone who doesn't know Star Wars. You need that. The Acolyte has the same thing. Andor, Principal Production, the UK. Acolyte, Principal Production, the UK. It fills me with optimism, not to make this not about Andor, but, mate, I'm very excited. When is Andor meant to be dropping next year?
It's meant to be, I think it's the first quarter of next year, because it was supposed to be this year, but it's been pushed to next year because of the strikes and all of that. So, also, mate, Mando and Grogu, photography, California and the UK, they're also filming a fairly decent chunk of that in the UK as well. So Hopefully what? That's true for real. They came out last week. That's exactly the point of the show. In amongst the maelstrom, they're filming Mando and Grogu in the UK as well.
He's
getting live Luke reaction.
I'm Googling this. I'm like, what? 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 I don't know if I can get my Star Wars Grogu app up in time, but
he can't talk quick enough.
That's crazy. So they're doing.
So answer some of our questions about volume, location.
What? So are they filming on location in the UK, like in countryside, or are they doing a mix of studio work as well?
I don't know, because like you, it was just so much. And you know, obviously, like, we're busy people. We're working guys. We've got lives outside of what we do here. I just didn't have the time to even look at the article. I just saw that they're filming in the UK. Lots of people getting excited. So I'd imagine they'll be utilising one of the world-class industry-leading sound stages here, whether it's Pinewood, whether it's in Shinfield, whether it's Shepperton, whatever it might be. They'll be utilising that. I'd like to think they're going out on location as well. And if they are, we could be seeing some really grand locations because the US themselves, it's expensive, but they've got some great-looking places to film over there. They're coming over here, mate.
You're bang on with that. In the US alone, there are some really underutilized locations for filming, you know, let alone Europe. That's right. It's more expensive. It is cheaper to do it in Europe, which I find absolutely bizarre because a lot of the time it's not cheap. But yeah, like some of the location shoots, all you have to do is watch a film like Solo. Locations are remarkable. Absolutely remarkable, mate. You know.
Yeah.
And that's not Italy, my favourite Star Wars, but the locations are maybe one of the best in that film.
Italy,
right?
Spain, or the Canaries, or if it was Southampton. All these, you know, just places which you wouldn't necessarily expect. Certainly, I mean, Star Wars in Spain. Wicked. Let's have more of that. And I wish they would do more of that. Go around the galaxy, go around the world a bit more and utilise the natural beauty that Earth possesses. But yeah, it's coming to the UK, mate. So Andor, Acolyte, Mando, coming here. We love it.
It's coming home, mate. It's coming out. I'm telling you, 2024, Jude Bellingham, we'll be doing a little Euro. That's in June.
Oh, yeah.
Well. We've got to get that sorted out.
What? Come on. We're going to get mixed up. We'll be doing our Euro recap. Oh, no, one.
Right, to wrap up the show, we're near the end, guys. We're near the end of this crazy, crazy expanded galactic news run. Wait, we've not even got to the main discussion yet. Star Wars Andor and Severance writer boards James Mangold's Dawn of the Jedi movie. Mate, what a touch. What a touch. First reported by The Hollywood Reporter, very respected, very well-respected outlet. They report that Lucasfilm have hired co-writer for the project. Is it
Bo Willimon.
This dude wrote the Narkeena 5 arc of Andor, season one. Sold.
Yeah, exactly. Can't swim.
On the other hand, Severance, an Apple TV Plus show, outrageously good. One of the best sci-fi shows made in the last 20 years, just like Andor. Mate.
Put the people in the right place, mate. That's what I've always said. You get the right people in the right room. And the guy also wrote House of Cards, which I know a lot of people loved. He wrote The Ides of March, which is a Gosling and Clooney film, which I quite enjoyed from about a decade or so ago, political film. You just tell me he wrote Narkeena arc. You just tell me that and I'm in. But then his body of work alongside Mangold. Mangold's doing a Bob Dylan biopic at the minute. I think I do like Mangold as a director. I know a lot of people dunk on the new indie film. We liked it. Ford v Ferrari even recently. People say Logan. Don't worry about that. That was great. Ford v Ferrari was such a slept on film, I think. That's a great film. And he does a great job directing that. And
this film is what?
It's great, mate. And it's one of them films. Sometimes I go into a film, mate, and think, it just looks a bit, I don't know, something about it feels a bit, sometimes I just feel like this is going to be a slog. And for some reason, I thought, Ford v Ferrari, it didn't sound great. Yeah, I love everyone involved in it, but it just sounds like it could be a bit cack. I loved V Ferrari. That was a great film. And this news, yeah, you put William on and Mangold together. Great. And it's set so far back, 25,000 years or whatever they're saying. You can do whatever you want. And that is what we've been saying here. Set it 25,000 years in the future or in the past and just let them have fun. And I you know, I'm here for it. We don't know what the story is going to be, but we've always said you get the right people in the right jobs, you're on the right track.
Yeah.
It's up to them now to make that happen. But this is nothing but good news to me.
Yeah, mate, this is excellent news. Excellent news, excellent casting, excellent choice, everything about it. What a team. What a team. Dawn of the Jedi has gone from being like, oh, no, I'm excited for that to, oh, wow, this could be.
Wow.
Wow, this could be just so good. So you know it was coming. Good. Thank you,
there
Dan.
He is.
Mate, what a time to be a Star Wars fan. And that's another bit of news that where just so much craziness has been happening lately, it's kind of gone a little bit under the radar, right? There's a lot of people that aren't talking about this. This is a big deal. Big deal. Mate, massive. What a show. What an episode. Right,
we didn't even mention the Watto Funko Pop. They got the Phantom Menace merch drop. Those nutters lit up the Empire State Building a couple of weeks ago with Star Wars. Only four other people, companies, have ever done that. They are feeding us good here. You got Matt Ferguson dropping absolute fire with those Phantom Menace posters.
I reckon
there's something else that we haven't spoken about. There's probably something else that we're like, how do we miss that? Even if there is, you will get to that. But there's been so much, and
I mean, you set up to end it about you. You set up top about like Daisy Ridley saying, "Oh, she's doing Star Wars." But that's it. Yeah, there's nothing to expand on and write until that actually happens. Daisy said this. Oh, great. Yeah, looking forward to it. Fortnite are collaborating with Star Wars. You know. That'll be fun. We're getting some skins, but worth noting, they usually do that around Star Wars Day every year.
Yeah, of
right?
course.
Yeah,
but it's still news that people are talking about, isn't it, man? It's still it's still out there. And like I said, for my final thoughts on like the whole thing, the whole show, the whole episode is that I still believe we've had far too much. We've just been speaking for best part of an hour and 25 minutes. And we dove deep into some of that. But I still feel like there's so much more we could really dive into, but we've had so much that we'd be here for 10 hours. You know what I mean? There's so much stuff. But am I glad, though, that we're getting news? Yes, because it felt like for the longest time we weren't. However, I think it was Diamond Dave Dunn on Instagram said, too much can dilute the magic. The magic of what makes Star Wars so delicious is that we're used to not getting an awful lot. And when we do, it's that slow burn, like our hype for the films, the sequel trilogy films, you know, we'd have a year's build up and there was nothing in between. And even with some of the series, we'd have half a year, if not a year's build up with not much in between. Obviously now we've got so much coming out. I hope it doesn't dilute the magic somewhat at all, but listen, I'm glad we're getting it. I'm glad we're getting all these new things and that the marketing team are kicking into gear for Outlaws, for the Acolyte especially. Tales of the Jedi, sadly, will come and go because there's so much going on at the minute. But I expect that to be Boss as well, Boss Nass as well, mate. And then, of course, the Andor stuff. Andor and Mando, you could have announced that a month's time or 2 months' time. Didn't need to announce it now. But they have done, and we've just spoken about it. I'm pleased we got it all, mate, but I do think that they've just basically someone pressed send memo too early with too much stuff on and it's been picked up by the trades.
I totally agree, mate. I totally agree. And the absolute irony of this like popping off while we're like, oh, we're gonna take a week off, and we obviously did book club, I did collector's guild, and we're like, oh, we're all good, mate, we're all good. No Lucasfilm went, no lads, we're gonna torture you. We're going to talk, but listen, I've enjoyed the break.
Good.
And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to regular programming, as of next week. So, stay tuned, lads.
Yes, yes, yes. Episode 244. It's a mad one. It's a big one. But it is done now. That is that for this episode of Star Wars Sessions. If you're new, we'll be back to our regular scheduled episode next week, like Lukey Boy said. But we hope you enjoyed this one as much as we did. But the fun doesn't end there. No one's ever really gone, guys. Where can the world find us, Master Blywalker?
They can find us at StarWarsSessions.co.uk. You can search for us on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Facebook, TikTok, just social media. Just search Star Wars Sessions and you'll find us there. Oh, just quickly, wanted to shout out, we've got an event in my neck of the woods. Leon C, mate.
Mine soon as well, yeah.
Mate! Next week, if you're free, if you live in the southeast of England, come see us. We're at an event at a wee bookshop, an independent bookshop, on Friday, 26th of April. Leon C. The bookshop's called Read on Sea, and we're going to be talking to some authors of the Kenner Collector's Book, The Ultimate Guide. Right, this book is insane. We're going to be posting more details on it in the days to come on social media, and more details on next week's episode. But if you live in Essex, if you live in Kent, live in London, come see us. It's a beautiful little high street, beautiful little shop. Get coffee, grab a beer. We're going to talk some Star Wars, might do a quiz. You know, it's going to be great fun. Really good fun. So yeah, anyway, I wanted to just pop that in.
That's
there.
6 p.m.
Yeah, 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Thanks, mate. Yeah, don't forget we've got a Patreon. Patreon.com/StarWarsSessions, where I'm going to be talking more about my Star Warsy adventures at Disney World this month. And we've also got a cheeky Discord server, which is like a massive WhatsApp group chat. If you want to join, if you're tempted to join, drop us a DM on socials or drop us an email and we'll send you the link to join.
I love it, mate. I think I'm going to be talking with proper journo Eamon on my Patreon show about our Jedi Survivor vinyl that turned up. That's the big news of the month, mate. That thing is sick. That thing is so, so delicious. But you got to tune into the Patreon show to hear more about it, or just go and check out the reel. But if you want to support the show for free, we appreciate that just as much. But we would love it if you could leave us a 5-star rating and review on your podcast provider of choice. Scroll on up or down. Drop those 5 stars and a cheeky little review if you wouldn't mind, because it does help the show grow an awful lot. It gets more listeners in, and it's another way to hear from more of you each and every week.
Yes, road to 400 reviews on Spotify. Ooh. We can easily do that. We know more easy. Of you listen. How stunned? Just not more. Drop a review, please. Like, come on. I don't get it. Right, and please tell... I'm all right. I'm calm. I'm good. You know, and please tell all your Star Wars friends about us. Tell your mum, tell your dad, tell your mates, tell your cats, tell your Ewok. Tell your nearest writer who did Severance, who did House of Cards, who did Andor, mate. Nakita 5-Hop. I'm telling you. Tell your Ewok, tell your cousin, the more the merrier. Kessel Spice, yeah.
Yes, tell your nearest dirtbag who went on Rise of the Resistance this week that this is the podcast that you're looking for. So until next time, from me, see ya, and from Luke.
May the Force be with you all. Words.
Luke!
Yeah, go Nee Tilroy. No, no brainer. No brainer.
They are Essex-based podcast heroes.
The ponchos alone.
We should burn them.
You know, you're right. We should.
What?